Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All pilots to your station.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck.
Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't have anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Resistance Reactions. Had to bite my tongue there because I almost said Rebels Reactions, which we just recorded a special one of those, which is available now if you go check it out. I am one of your hosts. I am Aaron Harris, and joining me is my co-pilot, my wingman, the David Modders. David, how you doing?
I am doing great tonight. Excited to record. Excited about Rebels here in March, the 1 year anniversary of it ending, but everyone's enjoying it, that it's back kind of in the Twitter sphere and everyone's mind. So excited about that, and excited to cover this issue. Not issue, well, I'm thinking of comics. This issue, this episode.
we'll leave the issues to Matt and Jeff.
Yeah.
They cover the issues way better than we do.
We'll cover the episodes, yes. But yeah, this episode of Resistance, so it's a good one. It's a real good one.
It is a real good one, yes. We're talking about Descent, which is the episode we'll be reviewing today. Not a lot of news in Resistance world. Everybody's still steamrolling towards Celebration. There haven't been any new announcements when it comes to Resistance there yet. The big focus this week, and as you mentioned, has been on the 1 year anniversary of the ending of Star Wars Rebels. And if you are subscribing to our iTunes feed or are subscribing to our feed wherever you do get your podcasts, you know we released a special which came out. We're recording this March 5th. So we had a special that was released today celebrating and remembering the Rebels series, in which we were joined by Jonna Marie Macias from The Wookiee Gunner, of course, one of the biggest Rebels fans we know. And we had a fun discussion discussing our top five favorite episodes of Rebels, which turned out to be a lot harder to put together than I anticipated. But we had a great time recording. We cried a little. We laughed a lot. We cried some more. And we cried some more after that. But yeah, it was a great series. So check that out and let us know what you think. Let us know what your favorite episodes of Rebels are. And make sure you go through online and if you're on Twitter or on social media, check out the hashtag Rebels Remembered hashtag feature and look at all the awesome memories people are posting of that show. So check that out. It is awesome. How's your week been, David?
It's been really good. Really good. Again, it's Star Wars. Like we were just saying, just really enjoying Rebels. I loved all the prep that we did for that. It got me back into the episodes. And then, of course, prepping for this. So that makes for a good week. Busy week with kids, but also just busy with Star Wars. And it's a good busy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I definitely understand. We had it was a crazy week for us, too. So between birthday party for my youngest, and my oldest was in a play tonight, so I rushed home from the play and rushed into the studio and tried to get everything flipped on as fast as we could so we could discuss this incredible episode. I mean, I can't say enough about the episode we're going to discuss right now, except for out of all the episodes of Resistance that we have had released to date, this has been the best one. hands down. So much fun, so much excitement, so much story depth, so much action. It was perfect. So let's go ahead and jump into our review of Descent. Perfect. There we go. That one went off without a hitch.
Nice.
There we go. You can tell we're all human here. So, no aliens in our midst, or else we'd be a part of David's Creature Corner.
That's right.
So, Descent, which of course aired March 3rd, 2019, was written by Paul Giacoppo. I like that name. It's just fun to say, Giacoppo.
That's right.
And I'm probably saying it wrong, which is probably making it more fun to say. But great episode there. And in this episode, picks up right where the Disappeared left off, with the stormtroopers, with Captain Pyre in Jaeger's hangar arresting Kaz and rest of Team Fireball. And craziness ensues as Bucket comes to the rescue, and Jaeger and everybody gets to make their escape. Tam, of course, does not. She stays in the custody of the First Order, and they decide to take some drastic measures to get a message out to the Resistance, and which includes sinking the Colossus. Yep, you heard it right. They sank the Colossus. And things go a little crazy. Then Jaeger gets captured, and they get a message out. They get a message reply, which wasn't the answer they were hoping for. But we get an awesome message from Leia Organa, responding to Kaz. And of course, Kaz makes a tremendous, I want to say speech, but it was more like it's just a power statement right there at the end of the episode to close things out. Which just, the whole episode was just incredible. And OP Pit makes his return. In this episode, we get to see him, which always makes it better. So, first thoughts, David, what are your initial thoughts when you saw Descent for the first time?
Oh my gosh, just like you said, the best episode to date. Just some of my initial thoughts that I wrote down was that I just really enjoyed the action from the start of the show, right? Which, like you said, is we had the cliffhanger, and I said last week I love that. And again, I loved it from the cliffhanger and resolving that at the beginning to the underwater scenes with Kaz and Jaeger and CB-23, and ending with them, you know, up and turning off the communications blanket. I love Jaeger's sacrifice there at the end. And so again, just I know I've said it before, it just, this feels like Star Wars. This is what I think people are looking for. I hope it is. They delivered. And I put a little note here, more Bucket. I mean, we literally started off the episode with really highlighting Bucket, and then he comes back in a little bit later as well. When the Chelidae, our turtle folk, really help him out, and that was really cool. Another initial thought, when will Tam, quote-unquote, see the light? And Tierney, this new officer, really works her over pretty good. And then, of course, I have my hashtag, justice for OP Pit. I loved his... I loved his response to the water, you know, coming down, and they're trying to close the shields, the doors there. Oh my gosh, Christ.
Two hands up in the air, just shaking.
Exactly.
I'm trying to remember the movie that was ripped from. I mean, that was a Shawshank Redemption type pose where he's right out of the dresser, arms up in the air.
Well, that's what I was thinking, that or like a Marlon Brando yelling, Stella. You know, it's like OP Pitt, OP Pitt, aka Marlon Brando.
Con.
Yes. Now, there's our Star Trek reference. We're getting them all in here.
We're getting them all in.
Oh my gosh! But OP Pitt brings so much joy to this show and to us, and I think he can do anything, and we just all will love it. So those are just some of my initial thoughts. But and I will say this, it you know what, you and I talked about this, it really clarified that Bucket is Yeager's droid, you know. Yes. Because when he saw him in the engineering level, that he was okay, and the Chelidae were putting him back together, you could see that was kind of like the Poe BB-8 moment, you know, when they see each other. So that I really liked, because then we can really see CB-23 as Kaz's. So yeah. Anyway, I'll let you jump in and just some initial thoughts. Really loved this episode.
Oh, I loved everything you said. I completely agree, because everything you just said, I wanted to say. No apologies. This was just a tremendous episode. We keep saying each week they are sprinting toward the finale, and this is, they have reached their pace. They are in a full sprint at this point. This was an incredible episode. Well written, well performed, extremely well animated. Everything in this episode was just firing on all cylinders. I loved the story they were giving us, and the glimpse into Yeager and Bucket's relationship, as you mentioned. I love Agent Tierney. Oh my gosh, what a tremendous character! I cannot wait to see what they are going to do with this girl. She is just, oh man. We'll talk about her in a minute, but tremendous character, and I think she is going to be trouble for Tam, and we'll get into that. But the underwater scenes, the message from Leo, everything on this, it was just, you could tell it's just speeding toward The Force Awakens, and I cannot wait to see how it's all going to play out.
I loved, Aaron, how you said sprinting to the finish line. I like that. They really are just sprinting right into these last two episodes, which is the final episode, I guess, split in two, over the next two Sundays. They're sprinting to it. Very well put. Yep. Well,
they are definitely in a full sprint on that. I mean, they've come around that last turn. They can see the finish line of season one, and the adrenaline has kicked in, man. It is awesome. So let's go ahead and start breaking down a little bit the episode. Now, I love the opening scene, because this, like we said, when the last episode ended, the Disappeared ended, it ended with Kaz walking into Yeager's garage. Stormtroopers are all there, Pyre's there, and he tells them that he's under arrest, and that's how it ends. This picks up right where that left off. Very much just like, wow, that is the worst grammar ever, Aaron. Anyway, very reminiscent of the way the Force Awakens ended and The Last Jedi picks up. Literally, it's the same time frame. There's no time expiring between the two. So we have that, and this just reminded me of that a lot. I love that. To me, I love that connection. I love how they explain the reason that they're there is because they identified the fireball from the infiltration into First Order space a couple episodes ago, which again, another phenomenal episode. But I love how everything just is. You think it's over for them at this point. You know that things did not work out the way I anticipated. I had an idea of what was going to happen. Then I saw the preview that they released, because the preview gave away a little bit of how they escaped. But then it just goes crazy from there. Bucket, man, I never picked Bucket being the one to bail them out. That was just awesome.
Well, you and I have been calling for this, right? Now, no one can deny that. You and I have said this episode after episode after episode. We want more Bucket, and they delivered in this one.
Yes, they most certainly did deliver in this one. They gave us poor Bucket, and they gave us Action Bucket. I mean, he pushing the block, it, the opening up the launch bay, and knocking the stormtroopers out into the water, and fogging up everything so nobody can see everybody escape. And then, of course, we get that tragic moment where Bucket gets blasted by a stormtrooper.
Yes.
I can't tell you how bad I felt at that point.
No, he was just sparking, and then he falls.
Then he falls, yeah, out the bay, falls into the water. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, we finally are getting the Bucket that we've wanted. This is the Bucket. That was the Bucket I've been waiting for. And next thing we know, he gets blasted to pieces and tossed into the waters on Castellan. Like, this is, I was a little angry with that.
I was thinking, what a way to go, man. I mean, that was quite the death. I was pleasantly surprised. But no, I loved it. I love Bucket. I want more of him. He's a crafty little guy, and that's what you and I were hoping to see, and Justin Ridge and the crew delivered.
Absolutely, they certainly did, and they are continuing to deliver. A lot happened in this opening scene, which sets up what goes on through the rest of the episode, especially when Pyre starts leveling out the charges. You know, this ship was identified in Sector Epsilon 1-3 and the Forbidden Area. And then, of course, Tam is like, impossible. No, you tell him it's wrong. We're not spies. Kaz, tell him. And Kaz, I mean, he basically just admits his guilt right then and there. He's like, you know, it's a little more complicated than that.
I know, he actually kind of does admit it. I'm like, what are you saying? Say, no, we weren't out there. You know, I don't know how they got the carbon scoring on there. We weren't out there in that area, you know, in the episode, The Core Problem. We weren't out there. No, not at all.
But
it's
a little more complicated than that.
Yeah.
That's good spying, yeah. Cass.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy. But Bucket intervenes, fogs up the room. Then, of course, Jaeger was fired up in this episode.
Yes.
I tell you, especially when it opens and he's yelling at Pyre, prove it or get out. I mean, he is not taking any lip from Pyre or the troopers. I mean, he is fired up. He's ready for a fight at this point, I think.
Well, and think about it. We know his history, at least some of it, and it's got to be weird for him to look at these guys, and they look just like the stormtroopers he battled back in the day of the rebellion. You know, it's got to be weird. He knows, you know, they're like these, you know, Empire wannabes, and he knows that they're bad news.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He knows it's bad news, and I think he's finally to the point where, you know, he has to do something. He feels he has to do something. And I think that's what's going to get push him forward, because next thing we know, he's going through the mission through the rest of the episode with Kaz till he winds up getting captured at the end of the episode. He falls into the custody of the First Order. So now Tam and Jaeger both are prisoners of the First Order.
Yeah, this is setting up these last two episodes. I said it last time, we don't even have enough time in these episodes to cover what we want to cover, but just my thoughts and everywhere they're going with, how do they rescue them? How do they get the Colossus back? I got a million questions. I can't even wait for the next 2 weeks. It's just ridiculous. That's how pumped I am. And of course, I love that Jaeger's joined the fight. Yeah, you mentioned this last week, and here he is doing it even more. But I have so many thoughts, so many feelings, but I just got to wait and see what they show us here the next two Sundays.
Oh, absolutely! It's going to be interesting to see the next two Sundays and see how it happens. think for a second.
Sure.
There we go. Had to fix something real quick. Sorry about that. All right. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the next 2 weeks, because as that season finale airs, it's going to be interesting, especially with Yeager in custody. I was talking to somebody on Twitter the other day, right after this episode aired, and they're saying, you know, they're like, you know, it was a great episode. I absolutely loved it. He goes, their only real complaint, or it really wasn't a complaint. The only real criticism they had was, this is the second time they've done an animated series where we're at the end of the season, the mentor figure is captured. Yeager's now in First Order custody. And toward the last couple episodes of season one of Rebels, Kanan is captured.
Yep.
And taken to Mustafar. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see if Yeager winds up at Mustafar. No, just kidding. It'll be interesting to see how they get Yeager out of there. If they're able to even get him out of there at this point.
Will they take it into season two? Again, these are all the questions I have. But this is a good sign, because it's got me interested in it, and I'm starting to notice on Twitter a lot more people responding positively, encouraging people to watch it. You know, when you gave those statistics, Aaron, from IMBD, I just thought that was fantastic. When you gave those, and how each episode is getting a higher rating, so that was the good news that you and I were hoping to see for this show, and now, you know, it literally is amping up exactly the way we hoped. You and I have been saying it since almost the beginning of the season, probably definitely mid season. You and I were talking about, will they, you know, what kind of ending will they have here? Will it be an A+? You know, similar to the end of season two of Rebels with Twilight of the Apprentice, and boy, it's feeling pretty, I'm feeling pretty hopeful about it. I have to admit that, and because like you said, they're in a full sprint right now.
Oh, they certainly are, and you brought up the ratings. The ratings so far on Descent have it even higher than Disappeared. It's an 8.5, wow. Where Disappeared prior to that was the highest one at 8.4. So they're moving up.
Wow.
And people are enjoying it. So
great. That is such good news.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to see how the reception is when season two comes out, to see how much more hype there is behind the series at that point. So this is going to be fun. It's going to be a lot, very exciting, a lot of adventures still to go on. So let's talk about Tam. Tam is in the unique situation where she is captured by the First Order. And of course, we already know she's not... She doesn't see anything wrong with what they're doing. She sees them as more of helpers and protecting them than anything else. And even has made the statement, you know, sacrifices have to be made for protection, for security. And she has no problem with what's going on. And now that the table's kind of been flipped, and she is now in the custody of the First Order. She kept stating several times, we're not resistant spies. I'm not a resistant spy. I'm not a resistant spy. And they just keep brushing her off. The only person that gave her any ear was Tierney, when Tierney showed up. Agent Tierney, of course, from the First Order Security Bureau, a new character, voiced by Sumali Montano, did a tremendous job with this character, by the way. I love the looks. I love everything about her, how she carries herself. She reminds me, She reminds me of a more... She reminds me of a mix of Callus, but with the smooth tongue of Palpatine.
Oh, very... Yes, nice combo. You know... Oh, go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, you know, just to piggyback off what you were saying, at the beginning of this episode, I'd mentioned Issue, and there was a reason for that, because one of the things I was thinking about was in Bucket's List is they do talk about the First Order Security Bureau showing up in Issue number 3 of the Poe Dameron comic, and I've read that. I've got the first 3 trade paperbacks. I got to get the last 2 to have all 5. But in Bucket's List, they actually show the page, and they show Agent Terex talking about the First Order Security Bureau. And so I thought that was a real neat tie-in. Again, you know, here's the good influence of you in the comics with Kenobi guys, Matt and Jeff. And I thought that was really neat because I'm like, wait, I've read that. And it was neat to see that she's part of that as well. Very smooth talking. And I thought, oh, she's slick. She's really slick. The way that she presents what the First Order is trying to do, you know. And so, yes, I agree. The reaction I've seen in the social media has been very positive for this character. And her design's really cool. Like you said, immediately followed that voice actor. And she looks, you know, her response was like totally stoked to be able to voice a character in Star Wars. So yeah, it's neat that they brought this character in, and perhaps we will see her into season 2 as well.
I definitely hope so. Somebody we definitely need to see a lot more of, and I think she will play a bigger role as we go forward. Very interesting character, like I said, and she is immediately plays the role of friend to Cat, to Tam. Tells her that he has her released from her cuffs, tries to start asking her a few questions if she knows anything about the resistance and if she knows Poe Dameron. And of course, she's like, I don't know him, but I've heard of him. He's a friend of Yeager's and Kaz's. And, of course, they're in Captain Doza's office, and he's like, so what's the big deal? She knows a pilot. Who cares? Right. This is a spaceport. Everybody knows a pilot. And then Tierney's like, you know, we got to do this somewhere else. Too many interruptions. And they wind up in the Aces Lounge, of all places. To continue the discussion, and she, of course, still uncuffed, she gets make sure Tam gets a drink, and then they start discussing Kaz and how well she knows Kaz, and this is where things really got interesting, and this is where I think this character is really going to mess with Tam's head through this rest of the series. She asks him what she really knows about Kaz, and she's like, oh, he's just a poor kid from Hosnian Prime, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, his attorney's like, oh, no, is that what he told you? He's like, no, he's from one of the wealthiest families on Hosnian Prime. He's a member of the New Republic military. He was recruited by the Resistance. Matter of fact, here is his service record. And she hands it to him, and he reads it, and it's like, and she's like literally in shock because she's just realized she has been, the person she thought she knew has been a lie this whole time. So I think that really is going to mess with her mind going forward. And can you see the confusion and the almost the betrayal in her face when that happens? What were your thoughts on Tierney and Tam in this moment?
Well, this is, I know. You know, there's lying by commission, which is telling a lie, and there's lying by omission, right? Not putting forth information. And, you know, I don't know. This is a tough one, right? Because Kaz is there for a reason, and he doesn't know who the First Order spy is. Is it Tam? Is it Yeager? Is it Neeku? Who is it, you know? And so I understand that he has to do that. And in fact, you know, as you and I have seen these episodes play out, and as, you know, even, last episode, the argument that Kaz and Tam get in when they're in Aunt Z's tavern, really, you know, I would think locks into Kaz's mind. Yeah, I mean, this is why I cannot tell her that I'm a First Order spy. Just Yeager needs to know this. And at the beginning of the series, Yeager, you know, wanted this stuff kept secret and didn't really want Tam involved, and probably knew that Tam was, you know, struggling with some of this stuff. Even in this episode, he said she's confused, you know, Yeager does. So I see the angle that Tyranny is using. I don't blame Kaz. He's got to keep, you know, his cover as long as he can. And in fact, like I said, the way that Tam has acted, he was wise to not tell her anything. It would have blown up in his face probably a lot sooner. So I feel bad for her, though, too. I mean, gosh, you know, I mean, she is confused. She is struggling with this. She wants all this to go away. But I've watched the Resistance Rewind on Tam, you know, and I think Justin Ridge or was it Brandon Allman mentioned that they needed a character who kind of sided with the First Order. They needed someone like that on the Colossus to play that role. So she's playing it to a T. But I don't blame Kaz for that. And right? I mean, how can
he? Yeah, okay.
He's doing his job. He's doing his job.
Oh, no, absolutely. He's doing his job, and he's doing a good – so far, he's been doing a great job of it. Huh? What we're going to do real quick is just take a quick break, and then we'll be back, and we're going to keep talking about Tam and Tyranny. Welcome back, everybody. We're still discussing the episode Descent, and before we took our quick break, we were discussing Tam and Agent Tyranny and their interesting situation there, where Tierney's kind of interrogating Tam, who's been captured by Pyre and the stormtroopers, and is playing right into her mistrust of Kaz, because we know she's had her issues with Kaz. She's kind of playing right into that. But she says, Tierney says something which also plays into this, into Tam's thoughts, and I pulled the clip and I want to listen to that real quick, so let's take a listen.
Would you like something, Tamara? Droid, serve my guest refreshments. This is not what you expected, is it? I'm not a monster, Tamara. Our goal is galactic peace through absolute order, nothing more.
Galactic peace through absolute order. You know, that is all Tam has been saying, is, you know, they have to have order in order to have peace, and they're here to enforce the peace, and there's going to be sacrifices. This is literally what Tam has been spewing to Kaz every time they've debated about the First Order.
That's right. And when she said that, when Tyranny said that, I thought that's where you really hear Palpatine, that slick Sith, you know, manipulation of words and semantics, translated, get out of line and we're going to squish you like a bug. But let me say it this way to Tam, or Tamara, as they revealed, you know, to make it sound a lot better than it really is.
Oh, absolutely. And I liked how she didn't call her Tam. She called her Tamara. It probably made it feel more. I mean, Tamara was probably what her mother called her.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's presenting a. And if that's the case, Tyranny is not only feeding her what she already believes about the First Order, but she's presenting it from a. Almost from a person, not only a person of authority, because she's an officer in the First Order, but almost a mother-like projection at that point by calling her by her given name.
Yeah, well, it feels like, you know, Tierney, she really did her homework on not only Kaz, but Tam as well. Yeah, she's done her homework.
Oh, she certainly has. And that's why I'm interested to see where they carry Tierney from here. I can tell you this right now. I don't see her flipping like Callus.
No, I don't either.
This one I don't see. But, man, it is going to be great to see her her character explored as it goes forward. Because with the Colossus under First Order control, I can see her having her hands full. Trying to keep things in wraps, especially after the events of the episode with half of the Fireball crew still on the loose.
Yeah.
Now, of course, just to change things up a bit, Neeku made me laugh. Neeku was obviously the comic relief for this episode.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
His complete and total disbelief when Kaz is like, dude, I am a First Order spy. No, you're not. I mean, he just could not buy it till right there at the end. Oh, so you are a First... It took the message from Leia to convince him that he was a First Order spy.
Right.
And it was just absolutely priceless. So I'm glad he was in there for that, because it made things a lot more... It made a tense situation funny.
Oh, definitely.
Because we're dealing with some crazy stuff. I love the fact they decide... after this, they go... I'm shifting gears again. Giger and Kaz go about to bring down this... communications blackout net, communications net, so they can contact the first, the resistance. Two things that struck me about that sequence where they leave the engineering section to swim over to the device, and of course, deactivating it and everything. First off, the whole swimming thing. I did not know, I didn't know CB-23 could float.
Yeah, versus sink like a rock. Yeah.
I now understand why they're in an X-Wing, because in case of a water landing, your astromech can be used as a flotation device.
Right. Well, and not only that, apparently at the bottom can open up and has a little like a prop, like on a boat, you know, and just, you know, and took, you know, Kaz and Yeager right up to where they needed to go. That was pretty sweet. It was gorgeous looking underwater, by the way.
Oh, yeah. It was very well animated. It worked really well. Right. I like how they had the little breather masks while they swam. The whole swimming scene, kind of before they jumped on CV-23 and rode to the top, the way they jumped in and the swimming kind of reminded me of a little bit of Episode 1.
Oh, right. Yeah.
With Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Yeah.
On
Naboo.
On Naboo, when they were looking for the Gungans.
Yeah.
I was going to say on Gungan, but I'm like, that's not the name of the planet.
I think that the city is called Odo Gunga, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
There you go.
It is. So then the whole, when they get to the device, that when they climb up out of the water and they're looking at it and they're going to go start deactivating it, it reminded me a lot of A New Hope when Obi-Wan is deactivating the tractor beam.
Yes.
And I just love how they're mixing in these nods, whether intentional or not, these nods to the movies, because we've had several in this one, and these two stuck out really huge.
Oh yeah, and even what about when Yeager pulled out one of those black cartridges? I was really thinking about Rogue One.
Yep.
You know, yeah. Yeah.
Little did Yeager know he was holding the design for Starkiller Base in his hand.
Yes.
And it was called code name Moon Dirt.
Instead of Stardust?
Exactly.
Right, instead of Moon Dirt. That was quick. This late at night, people, Aaron and I are a little slap happy, saying things wrong, but also having fun. So,
but that's what makes us fun.
I know. Plus, we're getting our references in. People, this is why people listen to us, Aaron.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so.
Y'all are still listening, right?
If they're all listening, they've already clicked us off. Right? With our groaners, too.
If you are listening, press pause and email us now. ResistanceReactions@coffeewithkenobi.com.
They're waiting for a groaner, too. I was listening. You know how I checked back on some of the episodes, the one where you said, wait, are the aces the ace in the hole? And it's such a groaner. It was almost worse than a groaner. I mean, you and I come up with these. They're so bad, but I love it.
Well, sometimes we just get set up so good, you just can't pass up that.
Well, you can't. It would be against, the force to not reveal that groaner to the listeners. So, I don't know. We haven't had one yet.
It's the will of the force.
It is the will of the force.
The will of the force.
Yes.
So join the dark side. We got cookies. Anyway, yeah. I want some cookies. Anyway.
Well, we were just talking about the homages, the reminders there with Kaz and Yeager on the, you know, how they just had come up out of the water and shut that thing down, which was pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the plan worked because of everybody working together. And I like that. Because in order for them to get up there, they couldn't get the device was at the top of the tower, and there was tower was on lockdown thanks to the First Order, blah blah blah. So the Kaz hatches this ingenious idea to Stargate Atlantis, the Colossus.
Oh, that's
he does.
Is that a little bit of a groaner there? Is that a little reference?
That's a reference. He sinks the Colossus.
Okay.
Atlantis sank to the bottom of the ocean. Atlantis also flew, so, you know, who knows? We may see the Colossus take off through the atmosphere. Who knows? But we see him come up with the idea, let's sink the Colossus.
Yeah.
So they get in touch with, through CB-23, get up to Captain Doza, who happens to be with Tora.
That is fun.
Tora cracked me up, man. CB-23 tells her the idea, and Kaz and Captain's like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And she goes, oh, that'll be fun.
Her face and her responses were great.
Oh, it was perfect. I mean, it just was so much fun. Then when he sends the message back through CB-23 to Kaz that, hey, do it, sink it, I'll get it done from my end, you see, you know, while he's standing there all nice and regal in his uniform, stating the giving his message, all of a sudden you see little Tora's head pop up and she starts waving.
Yes. Well, and sometimes I feel like that's us. I mean, the excitement we have, the enthusiasm that you and I have, and then you see it in these characters, you know. It's almost like she's excited for her friend and for this plan and wanting it to go well for Kaz and for all the people on the Colossus. So I like that infectiousness that we see in Tora.
Exactly. And of course they do get the security doors closed as the Colossus is sinking. And of course that's when we get our glimpse of OP Pitt shaking his hands in the air. I can hear him shouting, it translates into why.
Can translate Erebus. You and I know what OP Pit is saying.
Oh, exactly. We don't need Erebus. We got OP Pit.
That's right. The reason why we know is because he's our unofficial mascot, and so that'll never change.
Well, how do you know? I can hear it now. How do you know that's what he said? Because he told me.
Because he told me, yeah.
He told me. You didn't hear him?
Yeah.
OP Pit. So, so of course, everything happens on the tower where they get everything deactivated with the Rogue One chip and everything, and stormtroopers come out and they start firefight. And here's a criticism: if you know you're wanted by the First Order, and you know you're going on a mission that's going to put you in shooting range of the First Order, why is Yeager the only one with a blaster?
Right. Yeah, and I didn't even see it on him. You know, when he pulled it out, you know, when they were deactivating that kind of, I guess, what would we call it, radar array.
Yeah.
I was like, why is he the only one with it? Yeah, Kaz doesn't even have a blaster with him. Yeah.
Yeah, well, then again, Yeager is Poe's friend, so Poe's probably told him the kid can't hit the broadside of a barn with a blaster.
Right.
So...
better if he doesn't have it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably better in the long run that Cass doesn't have it.
Sure.
Probably safer for Yeager that way. But yeah, that kind of caught me off guard why it would happen that way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's little things. There's little things that we see, you know.
There's always going to be a little thing here, a little thing there. But overall, still great episode. Yeager gets captured, man. That we see Yeager and Tam both taken into custody, and we get two very similar reactions from Kaz. Actually, similar but different. When Tam gets captured and they're making their escape, he is not wanting to leave Tam behind. He's standing out still in the garage outside of Yeager's office. Come on, Tam, come on, come on. We got to get Tam. Come on, Tam. And Yeager's like, let's go. And so he winds up eventually pulling himself in and making the escape. But then when it comes time for Yeager, and Yeager winds up getting captured, he doesn't even try to go back to try to help. He goes. And of course, Yeager's the one that kicks him in the water, but, you know, he doesn't try to help at that point. He just goes. And which is not what you would think at that point. Especially after his reaction from
With Tam.
What are your thoughts on how he reacts when his friends are captured?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of my final thoughts. I put down, it was my second one, I have three of them, but I put down, I really like Kaz's desire to save Tam, and I said it reminded me of Finn in The Force Awakens, and him wanting his, you know, real focus was on Rey. And I also love Kaz's, you know, like I said, that final statement of wanting to save the people of the Colossus. You know, that's the opposite of where Ezra was, where he started in Rebels. Where he was very much, why should I help these strangers? And of course, you know, Hera has her famous statement back to him, you know, that if you only care about yourself, then your life's worth nothing. But I do wonder if, you know, as you were describing it, I started thinking to myself, well, I wonder, you know, Yeager knows that you got to have a singular focus on getting a mission done. And he can see that, you know, Tam is over there and she's going to be taken into custody. They've got to escape to get this whole communications blanket taken away. And so you wonder if that is a learning thing, right? The mentor teaching Kaz, hey, you know, yes, we want to get her, but we've got to get this mission done. So making very difficult decisions, split second decisions in difficult situations. And then him knowing that he just can't get back up out of the water, him and CB-23, and do anything there. You know, no blaster, Pyre and other stormtroopers there. So, you know, I guess in my mind, what do we call it, headcanon, right? My belief is that Kaz has learned, well, let me learn to fight another day. And then he ends the episode saying that he's going to get his friends back and the people of the Colossus safe. So hopefully it's maybe a growth, learning.
No, absolutely. It definitely is a learning experience for him. And he immediately retreats at that point. To me, this showed his growth just in this episode. He has those two completely different reactions. He learned a lesson in this episode, which was awesome. And I think this was something that needed to have happened, and I'm glad they showed this type of growth in him, and we got to see those that difference in reactions, and it led to probably two of the most powerful things in the episode. He gets back to the engineering section with CP23, and they get up there and they're like, "Where's Jaeger? Where's Jaeger? Jaeger got captured." He goes, "But we got the message. We got the message from the Resistance." And then, of course, they play the message from Leia, and we have the return of Leia Organa, General Leia, here. And actually, let's listen to her message to Kaz.
"Kazuda, I have received your message. Our forces are few and divided, and as much as it pains me to say, we have no ships to spare. I'm sending the coordinates to the location of our next base. If you can leave Castellan, join us. You should know that throughout the galaxy, many people are fighting oppression in any way they can. You are not alone, Kazuda. May the Force be with you."
Okay, so first off, the music gets me in this clip.
oh my gosh, Leia's theme
when she's speaking, that just, oh, you know, having Leia back, and you know, it's been a couple of years since we lost Carrie Fisher, but still, every time I see Princess Leia, even though I know this was not her doing the voice, and she hasn't done the voice in any of the cartoons, but when we're dealing with Leia, you can't separate Leia and Carrie. There's just no way to do it. And so, you know, you hear that music. I mean, anytime I hear that music, it doesn't matter who's portraying Leia, I am going to go straight back to Carrie. And so when that music started playing, man, it'll always be a gut punch.
Oh, it is. It's the feels, man.
It is the feels. I mean, it's man, this is the second show we've done this week, and I am tearing up again. Jeez.
No. No.
For the record, there was a ton of crying during the Rebel show we just released. So you want to hear us all sniffly, you can listen to that one. I'm going to try to avoid it in this one. But if we keep talking about Carrie, I just might.
That's right. Miss her horribly.
Absolutely. And this really puts into perspective the position of the Resistance at this point. They don't have the ships to help. You know, they're not unable to help her at that time, but she wants them to join them on their base. If you can escape the Colossus, join us. And it really is sets the mood for the last few minutes of the episode, because you know, at that point, everybody's like, this is when Niku's like, "Oh, you really are a Resistance fight with the Resistance, or you really are a Resistance spy." But then it goes into the next bit of the last few lines, which closes out this episode. And I got that clip too, and we're going to listen to that right now, because you can't talk about Leia's message without talking about what's said next.
"The Resistance isn't coming? We're alone?"
"No. We have each other. We are the Resistance now. All of us. First, we're going to free our friends. Then, I promise you, we're taking back the Colossus."
"No, we are not alone. We are the Resistance now." Oh, man. I got goosebumps.
Exactly. Now we're there. Exactly. All these like little cells, like when we saw it in the original Star Wars and of course Rebels, showing these cells developing. Mm-hmm. The same feeling here. Kaz is saying, "Hey, yeah, we're part of this. We're part of their team, even though they can't come right now. We're Resistance." And They're all part of it. And I will say this, something I've been thinking about with how much they've been down in this engineering section. Think about some of the earlier episodes where they introduce Kel and Ayla, and they're down below there, and they're with the Chelidae. And some people might say, well, why are we seeing these people and these, you know, kind of turtle creatures? And what a neat way that they're helping now. And under the main structure of the Colossus is this engineering area, and what a critical role it ends up playing here in these latter episodes. So again, no filler episodes. They wanted to introduce this area, and it's being used to the fullest. So I wanted to just quickly mention that.
No, absolutely. I'm glad you did, because it all ties in together, and it's going to. That will be the quote unquote resistance base going forward. You know, we're going to probably see a lot of this area in the episodes coming forward. You know, I am curious. I will say I do have my doubts, but I am curious to see how they retake the Colossus. I don't know if they actually can or not. Especially knowing what happens in the Force Awakens, yes.
Yeah.
And The Last Jedi. Knowing what happens there, I don't see them having the forces to take back the Colossus. But who knows? You know, it very well could happen by the end of the series. But it'll be interesting to see and see how long they can play the part of the resistance on the Colossus. There's only so many places you can hide on a station.
Right.
First Order has been down to where they are right now. The First Order's been down there. We've seen them go down and deal with the Chelidae and do inspections and searches. We saw that in Child of Tehar. Pyre was down there when he was chasing the kids.
Exactly.
So it can very well, they know what's down there. So you're going to have patrols going in there. You can't hide them forever. So it'll be interesting to see how long they can actually physically stay on the Colossus.
Well, and here, now let me do something here. Now, when Leia is talking, all right, I'm just going with this last scene, and she says, "We can't come help you, but here are the coordinates to our new base." So then I'm sitting here processing in my mind, you know, the Starkiller base. I mean, obviously I'm guessing in these last two episodes we're going to see that clip of Hux, you know,
spitting everywhere
and spewing his hatred. And then of course we see, like you mentioned earlier in this episode, you know, TFA ends and the Last Jedi picks right up from there. And so then, of course, we see, you know, Leia and all of the resistance leaving Dakar. And so then, you know, I started thinking about what Justin Ridge has said about how this series can go past The Force Awakens. You've mentioned in a previous episode how close they are together, TLJ, The Last Jedi and TFA. And so then you sit there and wonder, and I'll tie in something else you said about how a lot of the voice actors look like their characters. And then I'm just sitting here saying, well, we're going to have episode 9, right?
Yep. Excuse me.
And then I'm thinking to myself, after we see episode 9, do we see the second half of season 2 of Resistance and they're potentially at that new base, because they're not on Dakar anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I just pulled a lot of stuff together there, brother. But what do you think?
I think it's going to be very fun. You know, you're exactly right. I think I can see this happening. I see it all tying together. I could see, you know, like I said, they all look, they do look very similar to their characters. And being that there is, from what I understand, a larger time gap of several years between Last Jedi and Episode 9, it wouldn't surprise me, because they're having to pull together a new resistance. Who's Poe going to go to? He's going to go to people he knows are on their side, and he knows that he can trust. He trusts Kaz. So why not bring Kaz in?
Exactly.
We're not, again, clarify, we have no insider knowledge of Episode 9. We don't know this is happening. Nothing has been announced. This is just wild and crazy speculation. But, yeah, why not?
Just, no, it's just interesting to think about it. And, I don't know. It just, it would be really neat. And like you said, it starts coming together. And just like you mentioned in a previous episode, you know, we see Chopper in Rogue One. We hear General Syndulla's name mentioned. We see the ghost several times. And I can just see that occurring with the characters from Resistance, you know. Gosh, you know, just, you know, maybe even, like I said, kind of going the other way, pulling in wherever the Resistance is fighting from in Episode 9, you know, pulling that into Season 2, the second half of Season 2 of Resistance. So, oh my gosh, like you said, a lot of good stuff to look forward to. Oh man, this is delicious.
Absolutely. A lot of fun stuff, a lot of great things happening. So with that, we'll go ahead and go into our final thoughts. What are your final thoughts of The Descent?
Yes. You know, I wrote this down earlier tonight, and it's funny how you said we're really sprinting. And I looked at what I'd written down for my number one as my one of my final thoughts. This really takes us to the season one finale. I'm really ready for this two-parter. I mentioned that earlier. I love this build-up. I just love how they do this. And I'd mentioned this probably really early in the season that I really felt great about Justin Ridge learning from Dave Filoni, and you can really see it coming to fruition across this entire season. Second one, and I mentioned this earlier, I really love Kaz's desire to save Tam and the people of the Colossus. I really love seeing that in Kaz. I'm excited to see him do it. Like you and I said, we're not sure how he can do it, but excited to see how it happens. Number three, Yeager joining the fight, as you said, him, you know, taking it up another notch from the previous episodes, really wanting to help, really pulling back, you know, the energy he probably had from the rebels, the rebellion time. It's really neat to see him part of this action. And then, like I said, it's exciting to see, you know, where is this new base going to be? You know, how will season one end for us and really leave us wanting more for season two? So those are just some of my final thoughts as we end this episode and really come into two biggies here coming up, the last two episodes. So excited.
Absolutely. I'm excited too. Great thoughts, you know, a lot of what you said along the lines of what I was thinking. This show keeps it getting better. Every time you think they keep getting better, and you know, I'm sitting here thinking, man, it can't get much better than this, can it? But they always find a way to do so, and I can't. That's why I can't wait for this season finale. I wish it wasn't season finale already, but I can't wait to see how it plays out. But it breaks my heart. It's spread out over 2 weeks. I mean, you're killing me, Smalls. You're killing me. I was having a hard enough time with the cliffhanger from the last episode making it to this one, and you split the season finale on me. You might as well just, you know, put a bow on me and send me to pyre. But it's going to be this was a lot of fun, and I definitely definitely my favorite episode so far of the season and of the series. This was, it had everything that you would want. It had action, you had humor, it had seriousness and depth. the introduction of Tierney was couldn't have been more perfect. I love how she presents herself. I love how she just immediately came off the shuttle and was like, take me straight to Tam. I want her right now. And I love how she plays her cards with Tam. And it's like I said, I'm very interested to see how this plays out, because I think Tierney has Tam right where she wants her. And it will be interesting for me to see how she uses Tam. So with that, of course, you know, we grade all of our episodes. Just like if you got a grade in school on a test, A, B, C, D, and an F. I'll go first this week. You know, I loved this episode. This was as good as it can. I mean, everything fired on all cylinders. The animation, the voice acting, the story, the sound effects, the music, everything was great. I'm actually going to step it up and give this episode an A+.
Wow, bringing the big guns, buddy.
It was just that good. This is an episode I can sit down and watch time and time again and not get tired of it. And that's what makes it that it was just that good. It advanced character development for a couple of these characters hugely, while also introducing us to a new character. We saw a full growth. We saw a growth in Kaz. We saw Yeager finally give in and join the fight in a very aggressive way. We see Tam doubling under to Tierney, doubling under to her belief that the First Order is good by surrendering and not running with Team Fireball. We see Tam coming to the realization she has been lied to by not just Kaz, but by Yeager as well, as to who Kaz really is. I mean, there's just so much. If they didn't have Neeku in this for comic relief, this would be a very rough episode to get through with all the treachery and deceit and action going on.
Oh, no doubt. You and I've said it before. They have the comic relief. You have to have it, or be pretty rough. I mean, people talk about this being a kiddie show, and you and I've talked about this, saying yes, we understand who it's marketed to. At the same time, we've talked many times about all the adult themes, and here's an example of this is just the interrogation. That's tough stuff, and it's heady stuff. So the comic relief by Tora, by Neeku, is so needed. To grade it, I thought you were going to say A. We did A-minuses last week. I thought you were going to say A. I'm going to go with an A. I just get a sense we're going to have an A+ in these next ones. Maybe you're going to go A++. I don't know if you've ever done that. Maybe that's what you're reserving it for. I've said it before. I've been writing down my grades before, you know, we record together. I put down an A. I was guessing that you would say an A, but you got me with the A+. I was like, whoa, okay, brother.
Yeah, this was it for me. I mean, this was just that, to me, this was just that good. I mean, it was just great. it was just great. The only thing that would have made it better was Chopper showing up. I mean,
well, no doubt. You know, it's funny, just as you were saying that, I was thinking, gosh, you know, and we had OP Pitt in this one. We didn't have him in the last one, exactly. But he's in this one too, so that bumps it up.
Exactly. We had OP Pitt in his Shawshank Redemption moment. So it was definitely a great show. So what do y'all think out there about The Descent? How would you grade it? What are your thoughts on it? Don't hesitate to send them to us either via Twitter at Resist Reactions. You can send us a DM, or of course tweet us there, or of course over on Facebook. Just search for Rebels Reactions. Rebels Reactions is not on Facebook. Search for Resistance Reactions. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen tonight.
It's late, people. It's late. So.
I knew that was going to happen tonight. Well, I've been talking. Like I said, we're recording this March 5th, which is the hashtag Rebels Remembered. So I've been talking Rebels all day with people online. So it's just natural I'm going to make that slip up. So, but look for resistance reactions. I almost did it again. Look for resistance reactions on Facebook. And you can message us there and talk to us there. Check that out. But yeah, let us know. Of course, you can also email us resistancereactions@kofuwithkenobi.com. David, if somebody wanted to talk resistance with you or Star Wars in general, how would they go about doing that?
Absolutely. Two ways. One is on Twitter @David_Motters. And the email is the initial of my first name, dmotters@kofuwithkenobi.com. And those are the two ways there.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. And if you want to continue the conversation with me, definitely hit me up on Twitter. That's always the best way, @TAHarris121079. Or, of course, I'm always available via email at that always gets me. I'm always available on let's try that again. I'm always available via email. You can email me at aharris@kofuwithkenobi.com. If you're still hungry for more Star Wars, check out the Coffee with Kenobi family of podcasts, which we are a proud member of. Of course, our flagship show, Coffee with Kenobi, hosted by Dan Z. Great discussion, analysis on all topics concerning Star Wars. If you like comics, check out Comics with Kenobi with Matt and Jeff. They'll get you hooked on reading comics just like they did me and David. Let's not forget Lattes with Leia with Amy Ratcliffe and Dr. Andrea Letamendi. Great analysis, great discussions there all about Star Wars and a variety of topics and Star Wars in everyday life. I love it. And of course, Legends Library. If you love the books and you love the expanded universe or the Legends line as it's now called, check out Legends Library. They go through and review those books and do a great job there. Now, of course, I do have an email. Let me stop there because I do have an email that I do need to read really quick because it will count as an entry into our giveaways.
That's right.
Because we do have our current giveaways going on for the Kaz Sanara ship giveaway. So you get the Kaz action figure and the Sanara action figure, which we will happily send your way. So make sure you, if you get that in there. Quiet Week from Tarkanis and Flux, they didn't write in, but we did get, unless they wrote you. Did they write you, David?
No, I think they're just really pleased with, you know, I think, you know what they did? I know, you know what? They sent Tierney to take care of business this week. Yep.
Figures.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens there. But we did get one message here from Cameron Ramos, who will have another entry into our giveaway. Cameron says, we have, let's see, where does it begin? Da-da-da. There it is. Yeah, here he goes. Cameron says, we have each other. We are the resistance now. All of us. I absolutely have chills from this episode. This is the A+ episode I've been waiting for. I love you, Cameron.
Oh, man.
I need more Tierney because she is wonderfully evil and manipulative. I could 1,000% see her convincing Tam to join the First Order. I'm so excited to see how the season wraps up. I hope that Kaz and Team Fireball go to the Resistance base and find it deserted because of the opening attack in The Last Jedi. Once they find the deserted base, I hope that season 2 shows them establishing a base on Black Spire Outpost so that we can explore this land even further before we're allowed to travel there ourselves on Walt Disney World vacations. I just love this show so much, and I'm so happy that we've been on board since episode 1. It's been one heck of a ride. Yes, sir, it has been one heck of a ride. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
He thought it was an A+ too.
I know. Well, then I love it. I'm glad he was saying that. Plus, and then he started talking about, what the base is. I didn't even think about Black Spire. I was just thinking about, I guess, just whatever the next one would be. But that would be pretty wild.
That would be nuts if it worked out that way.
Jeez.
But it's Disney. You never know. They very well could.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, agreed. I was reading a lot of the articles on Galaxy's Edge from this past week, and from the different writers, Clayton Sandell, Amy mm-hmm. Ratcliffe, Anthony Bresnahan, and then Dan Brooks, of course, at StarWars.com. So it's really neat to get all of their angles on this. But one of the things that I think Dan Brooks said in his StarWars.com article was that they designed Galaxy's Edge, in California and Florida here, to be flexible, and it can grow over the years. And so that would really fit in with what Cameron's saying. They could very much tie it in, but they're not locking themselves in, though. It sounds like they're really being careful with that, so that you can have the Star Wars land be viable and connected for years to come. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely. It's going to be very interesting to see how it works out. I hope that would be just so cool if that's how it worked out. I won't be disappointed if it doesn't work out that way. I honestly would be surprised if they did go that direction. But at the same point, if they didn't, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, because it's Star Wars land. So, I mean, come on. It doesn't get much better than that. So thanks for writing in, Cameron. That is awesome. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you for joining us. David, my friend, awesome as always.
Oh, man. Thanks for having me on. Just real quickly, no nude creatures this week. So there you go.
No nude creatures. You heard it first. No nude creatures. For David's Creature Corner, and we will close this episode with our Niku saying of the week. But just remember, everybody, this is the Resistance podcast you're looking for.
Oh, for shame, Kaz. You see what happens when you do not tell the truth? These poor children have been deceived by your absurd joke telling.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.